not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life. All right. Welcome back to another episode of Full Gorilla Life. We are now in studio with Corey Martin, a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, and retired fireman, a man of all traits here. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And before we get started, just to get to know you a little bit, one of us will throw you through the gorilla gauntlet. And it's rapid fire questions, just kind of silly things sometimes, but
sure.
Here we go.
So Corey will be going through the gauntlet.
Yeah,
all right. That's Corey. First, I got to find it, so I'm ill-prepared.
Right on.
Nobody else is surprised in this room.
No, not at all.
It's all right. It's been a busy day. We had to get it together, had some technical stuff going on in the beginning, but it's all good.
All right. I got it. All right.
You sure?
Corey. Right. Yeah, I got it. We're good.
All right.
I got it. You can handle this.
Okay.
Let's see what you got.
Corey, you married or single?
I'm married.
Any children?
Yes, sir. One. Boy.
What city do you live in?
Vero Beach.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Favorite movie or book?
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
Right on.
So you like comedies?
Yes.
Okay.
Who was it? It was Steve Paul Carell. Rudd in that?
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was. Honey.
Sarah's a big Paul Rudd fan.
Is it because he's easy on the eyes?
I don't think he's easy on the eyes. Do you?
It's not my... I'm asking you.
We're asking you about what Sarah thinks.
No, I think she like... Oh, she thinks that he...
She just likes his...
But comedy is like awkward comedy.
I feel he's got short arms.
She likes...
What?
I've never heard that description of anybody.
Maybe only an Ant-Man.
Here we go.
Okay. All right.
So, Corey, sometimes we'll get off tangent and we'll try to bring it back together. So
I like it.
Feel free to jump in.
Favorite genre of music?
Country music.
Right on.
New country or old country?
Old.
Okay. Like Cash?
Not quite that old. Tim McGraw, Kenny Chesney.
Okay.
So it's kind of like 90s. Like if you're the 90s, if you're like a rap, you're like 90s rap or now rap?
So it's
mumble rap or
rap? I could say 90s is probably a good decade of country there.
I do like some new stuff too, but I just got back from Nashville. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's going to be hard.
Okay. Reservation or just walk-in?
Walk-in.
Favorite type of food?
Italian.
Do you make Italian food or you like to go out and get Italian food?
I definitely don't make Italian food. I don't make any food.
All right.
Now, you were in Nashville. Do you like Southern fried chicken stuff?
Absolutely.
Did you hit up a Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken?
No, I did not.
Missing out.
Oh, is Gus's in there too?
But all right. I will throw this in. I just got back from New Orleans yesterday, and there's nothing like New Orleans food either.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's no. Good. Like, there's something with the bread at New Orleans that is just ridiculous.
Where'd you eat at New Orleans?
Mr. Ed's.
Mr. Ed's? Where's that at?
I don't know that one.
It's down on just off Canal Street in the French Quarter. If you ever go to New Orleans, you got to try Mr. Ed's.
What kind of food is it?
It's New Orleans style food. We... charbroiled oysters.
Okay.
They have this crawfish bread.
That sounds interesting.
It's absolutely amazing.
Did you eat at the Ruby Slipper?
No, I didn't, man. Is that a fancy restaurant?
No. It's like
it sounds like it, right?
It's like a diner.
Ruby Slipper.
It's like a diner. They got two locations, one on Canal Street and one on, I can't remember the other one. But man, they got the best breakfast. Probably some of the best breakfast I've ever had.
Yeah, New Orleans is a culinary heaven.
I try to stay away from the big chain restaurants when I go out of town. I want to like
experience their culture there.
Dives and
yeah, you should for sure.
I think that's the way to do it. Yeah,
yeah, the joint barbecue too, phenomenal in New Orleans. I could just keep going on.
Yeah,
about
you
food
could.
In New Orleans.
Been there a few times.
What type of vehicle do you drive?
Toyota Tacoma.
And beer, whiskey, or wine?
Beer.
All right.
All right.
Craft or do you have a brand?
Bud Light, Bud Light Ultra.
Okay.
Not a craft beer guy.
All right.
I can appreciate that.
Now we're thinking about crafting our own.
Not thinking about. We're scheduled.
We're
going to
do it. Yeah, we're scheduled to.
As long as it's light. Do you like you guys like dark beer or light beer?
I think I've gotten more, not really dark beer, but it's probably not like somewhere like with the craft, I feel like I've kind of come in between like my, I think mine like lend a towards Budweiser. Like a, mine are probably like more like a Blue Moon and that type of Belgian whites and stuff, but yeah, kind of like in the middle, I guess, huh?
Yeah, same way. I'm the same. Yeah. Like if you ask me to drink a Guinness, it has to be tap. Otherwise I can't do it.
Yeah, that's too much.
I can drink anything you want me to as long as it's ice cold.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I'm with you on this.
It's way better when it's ice cold.
Even there's no beer that I like that if it's not really cold. Which leads me, I kind of lied it a little bit. I drink a lot of Captain and Diet because you can't get cold beer in a lot of places. So I
switched. Okay. That's true. If you get a draft, they're not always.
Yeah. That's one thing I used to love about Carrabba's. I know it sounds weird, but like they used to have like really cold glass and like it would have like icicles, little bits of icicles in the glass with the Bud Light. I thought it was phenomenal. And then they stopped and I was like, okay, we're moving on.
When my wife hears this, she's going to say, did you tell them to say Carrabba's? That's her favorite restaurant on the planet.
It's good. I'm with you. I used to go there all the time. But yeah. All right, Corey. So we can get into your story a little bit.
Sure.
So maybe we'll start with the beginnings, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, we're open ended. However you want to go with it.
We is it okay if we ask questions? And
you more than welcome to ask questions. I could I tell when I do my public speaking, I tell my story in a poem form. I think it might be beneficial if I start opening with questions after about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of that poem.
Okay.
Okay.
Actually, sure. There's a place where I like to stop, and it leaves a lot for the imagination. So if you want to hear more, you're more than welcome to ask. It doesn't talk a lot about my success. It talks about where I come from, and I really don't want to stop on a bad note, but if I don't, you'll be listening to that poem for the next 30 minutes, so we don't want to do that.
Okay.
So yeah. I'll just give you a little bit of it, and it might give you some intuition to where I'm from. As a child, I walked through drugs and mayhem. I never done them, but I came out the other side a better man. You're probably wondering about my mom and dad. Well, my mom's amazing while struggling with addiction. My dad's pathetically sad. He was a drunk, he was a punk, and ultimately a disgrace. And eventually he would die in prison for shooting a man in the face. As a boy, I was touched by another. My mom was going through so much stuff, I didn't even tell her. I watched my grandfather get shot in the chest from 15 feet with a shotgun with a single shot. You can't make this stuff up. Life, is that all you got? So that's the start to my story.
Wow. Yeah, so immediately for me, that's heavy.
It is, right? Very heavy. Yeah. But it gets a lot better. Trust me.
So, but just, did you write that yourself?
Yes.
How did that make you feel writing that?
Well, I lived it, so. And the point to that story is, and the reason I like to tell that part of it is, to anyone listening right now, you have the opportunity to decide who you want to be at any given time in your life. If you're a drug addict, I know it might be tough, or if you're poor, or if you're not living in a relationship that you like, you as a human being and as an adult especially have the opportunity to change that at right this second. If I don't like this interview, I can change that. If you don't like me as an interviewee, you can change that. We can change who and where we are at any given time. And the moral of my story is we decide who we are going to be. And nobody else. It's no one else's choice. And at a very young age, I decided who I wanted to be. And I'm sorry I left a little part of that out. It's the part that I left out was, as a young boy, I decided who I wanted to be. And I look back today, and I like who I see. So I did leave that out.
How, speaking to that part, like you said, as a young boy, how old were you when you kind of realized, like, this is not what I want, or I know what I want?
Well, that's a really good question, because I was very young, and I learned who I wanted to be from looking at what I didn't want to be. I walked around in crazy, ridiculous things I can't even talk about as a five-year-old, watching people do stupid stuff. And I learned, maybe not at five, but pretty quick after, I learned I didn't want that. And there was one real big thing in my life that happened. I went to the grocery store with my mom one day, and I was, you know, living my life. I didn't know any different. I seen these kids, hairbrushed neat, nice clean clothes. Mom looked normal. And I just looked down at myself. I didn't like it. I said, one day I'm going to change this. And I did.
Do you remember how old you were?
Probably about, I'm thinking seven, eight.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty young to realize, to have some that
self-awareness,
intuition. Yeah, to understand kind of, well, where you're at and where you want to go.
I wasn't always so noble. I was money driven for a long time. And I knew that I seen people with nice things and I wanted them. And I knew that I wasn't the type of person that was going to do illegal stuff to get them. I just knew there was really only one way to do it. And at the time, I thought it was work really hard. Now I know different. I know there's more that goes with it than that.
Yeah, it's true, though. But I mean, you have to have the hard work.
So did you have any, like, mentors or anybody that guided you along the way? I mean, being that young and realizing, like, you wanted better for yourself, did you ever look to anybody or find anybody along your way that kind of got you started?
I cannot say that I did. And what I'd like to say to that is there's a lot of conversation today about single family homes. And you're talking about someone to look up to, and the lack there of a father for that, for this conversation. You can blame it on that if you want to. But again, I'm a big believer in, yes, while tough, you get to decide who you want to be.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it definitely comes down to that.
Yeah, and that's heavy, right? Because, like, you're right. You can definitely decide who you want to be, but a lot of people, for whatever reason, can't put that together.
I witness that quite often. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to tell you a little story. A lot of these stories you'll see on YouTube, but about 6-8 months ago, I was coming home from the gym about 6 in the morning, and I stopped off at 7-Eleven to grab a drink. And this guy walked up to me, met me at my door, actually, big gentleman. He said, "How you doing, Mr. Whispering Palms?" And I said, and Whispering Palms happens to be where I own a lot of real estate. He said, "How do you get all these nice cars and trucks and stuff like this?" And I said to him, "Well, I'm glad you asked. I work really, really hard, and I do the right thing. I help as many people as I can on a daily basis." And he said, "Well, that sounds like a lot of work." I said, "It is a lot of work." You've never met someone that was successful that didn't work really hard. And he said, "Well, that just sounded like too much work for me," and rode off on his bike.
Wow. And that's a mindset that people have, and it's until they realize that they got to do it, they're not going
to
do it.
Their want isn't good enough is really what it boils down to.
Yeah, they get complacent, or with they're content with where they're at, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people want it. And I've had hundreds and hundreds of conversations about real estate, because my real estate story is quite unique. And I work with a bunch of firemen, which I don't know if you guys know any firemen, but I love them all. But we're a little bit, and I encourage dreaming, but they're, I don't know how to put this, but, well, at first they laughed at me for my dream, and now they call me for financial advice. But they would come to me when they would float into my station and say, Corey, I hear you're doing this and that. How can I do it? Now, I was very naive, and I would sit for hours telling them verbatim, step by step, if you listen to me, you can do what I did. And I'll just sum it up in a nutshell real quick. In 2009, I sat on my couch in an apartment that I didn't know if I could afford because I just got a divorce. Made a goal to buy 30 houses and pay them off in 5 years. And I did it. And now, mind you, I didn't have any money or credit because, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever been divorced. Hopefully not. But when you get divorced, those two things definitely go. So, which, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring up the one of my very favorite topics is the art of conversation creates opportunity. And so with that goal, I started talking to people who did have money, which I had I didn't know these people. I just started going to banks, and one bank would lead me to another, but no, everything was no.
So you went into the bank with the thought of, I need to get a loan? You weren't sure?
At the time, I just wanted to get started.
Okay.
I knew that sitting on my couch wasn't going to cut it.
But what do you mean by get started? Were you looking to get a loan or get money from somebody?
I was looking for money. And okay. I'd never heard the term hard money before. And eventually I would learn that. But every person that I talked to said no. But every conversation that I had with those no's came opportunity. I learned something from each conversation. Mm-hmm. And eventually I would go to this guy and he said no. But 2 days later, he called me and I said, Corey, I went home and I thought about you. And I'm not sure how to take that, but okay. And and he's a great guy. And without him, I'm nothing. Or I shouldn't say nothing. I wouldn't be as successful today as I am. And he said, I have someone that will lend you money. Are you familiar with the term hard money?
So this is a guy at the bank?
A mortgage company.
A mortgage company.
That's where my path had led me to some small mortgage company.
Okay. Okay.
Lots and lots of people.
Do you remember how many no's you heard?
Oh, at least 50. Maybe that's exaggerating. Now, 25.
Did you have a job as well?
I was a fireman.
A fireman. Okay.
And I have a small company in town. It's a contracting company called Rescue Me Handyman Service. We've been around since 2006. We've done pretty well with it. But he still does my mortgages today. And he introduced me to, a minute ago, you asked me, do I have a mentor? And I didn't as a child, but I do now. And without those two gentlemen in my life.
So he asked you if you were familiar with the term hard money.
Yes, sir.
And then what happened after that?
Before you go there, like for our people... hard money?
I don't know what hard money is.
What would be the definition of hard money?
Hard money is, was a bit of a hard money lender. A hard money lender is someone that lends money for acts as a bank. And it's usually at a higher interest rate. And, you know, if banks are 4 or 5, usually a hard money lender is 8 or 10, which sounds ridiculous. But it's not ridiculous. It's... My little thing I like to say is you can't build a table without a saw, and you can't buy a house without money. So you have to buy them.
Yeah,
and so my philosophy is you do what it takes. And before I went out and started getting money from just getting money, and I devised a plan that I was going to pay each house off as I go. And that's what I've done. And toward the end of that stint of 5 years, actually a little closer to 4.5 years, I was paying a house off every 3 months.
Wow. So this gentleman that lent you the money, it sounds like you didn't have any money for down payment.
I shouldn't have said I didn't have any money. I'd been saving some money from this part. When I moved into the apartment, I didn't know if I could afford it. But then I started being able to save a little money. Now, conventionally, hard money lending, yeah, they lend 60% of appraised value. So I come up with a little bit on, and houses were cheap back then, and then created a relationship with this gentleman on paying on time, being a nice guy, and doing all the right things. There's a lot to be said for doing the right thing.
Yeah, he's going to be a little more willing to do it again if he knows it's coming back.
There's probably no amount of money that I could ask him for that he wouldn't give me with no money down right now.
Wow. And that took time to build that relationship. That's relationships. Yeah.
Well,
those are huge.
I should say that I didn't meet him in person for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Normally that's how it works. You go through an agency or a mortgage broker and they do the transaction. And at some point he wanted to meet me because I was paying these houses off so fast and he was impressed with what I was doing. And he wanted to meet me. So we had lunch and about 6 or 8 months ago, he says, "We're not business partners. We're not friends. We're family now." And I just can't say enough about, you know, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around, but
it's okay.
A young lady the other day heard me talking, and it wasn't about motivation or anything. It was just a conversation. And she said, "You have to be selfish if you want to be successful." And I cringed. I said, "Ma'am, with that kind of attitude, it's my opinion that you'll never be successful, because I wasn't successful until I started helping as many people as I possibly can on a daily basis. And I didn't get a chance to get to the part in the poem because it's a little further in. But when I was 19 years old, my mom was in her first year of sobriety, and she's 31 years sober now. But she asked me to make a pact with her to do something nice or help someone every single day for the rest of our life. And I've done it. I believe I've done it. Not God knows she's done it. And that's when my life started turning around. I mean, when I think about it.
I don't think people realize they get so caught up in their daily grind, if you will. They stop thinking that way. But I think when you start giving out more, without even trying, it just almost doesn't automatic, but it almost starts to come back to you even in tenfold. It does happen that way a lot, I feel, when it comes to others and giving and sharing and being there for others.
Yeah, it's that, or people get caught in the race of why me, right? So when something bad happens, it's why me.
Oh, yeah.
And so then it's hard, in my opinion, to shift your gears from why me into let me help you out. What I always think of when people think being successful or helping yourself, I have to make sure that I'm good first before I can help anybody else, right? So it's kind of like in the airlines, they'll tell you, if the plane is going down, make sure you put your mask on. Don't try and help your neighbor. Put your mask on first and then help your neighbor. Because if you're not good and you pass out, who are you helping?
Sure. Makes a lot of sense.
But are you saying, Larry, are you saying that you feel like you need to be good before you help somebody else out?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like there's always somebody worse off than you. So yeah. You can always help somebody.
You can always help somebody, but you do have to make sure that you're good.
Yes.
In the right frame of mind, in the right whatever. Yeah,
well, you got to make sure you're doing it for the right reason, really, too, right. To me. You know, if you're just truly trying to help somebody, I feel like everybody can help somebody at some point.
Yeah,
even throughout the day.
Even if it's encouragement. Whatever.
Yeah, if it's encouragement, absolutely. If it's time. Yeah.
I think it goes
money,
what you said. Like, there's always somebody worse off. So, therefore, no matter where you're at and where you feel you're at, there's always going
to
be somebody else.
Yeah, but you have to have your mind right.
Yeah. It's harder to help others if you're not. I see what you're saying. So, Corey, you've kind of, you talked to some of your childhood and then you talked about the real estate side of things. And then I know you were a retired fireman. I'm curious because I think before we started recording, you were talking about just success in general. Like that's something that you're very passionate about. This is the topic of success. And I know you, I think you said you had, I forget how many, you had six, was it six rules?
Well, sounds kind of corny, but yes.
No, but I think, well, it doesn't have to be the word rules, but I think just things that you live by, so to speak. Oh, and I just wanted to kind of dive into that because I feel like hearing where you're from and then where you've gotten to, there's definitely some process that has to be put into place there.
Well, I'd love to tell you if you're interested in here. Mm-hmm. Well, the first rule of success will, for this corny, as corny as it may sound, my first rule of success is to dream. If you can't dream, I fully believe you cannot be successful.
It's funny because not many people do that. Like to think of that as like the thing to sex, but like I'm a teacher. So like it's, and we get like this time of year, especially with testing and things, get so focused on the academic side that they take away like the kid's ability to be, the imagination. I feel like as a kid, you call it imagination kind of thing and dreams. Yeah. And as we get older, we kind of focus it on like dreams and goals and we kind of stifle that. I think it's important. I think that's a great one to start off with.
Well, I respectfully disagree with that.
Okay.
I think everyone dreams. I think everyone dreams, but that's as far as it goes. Because someone mentioned the car that I was driving when I was here. And I'm sure that everyone, especially in schools, what grade do you teach? Do you mind me asking?
I work mostly with fifth graders now.
Okay. I bet you every fifth grader you... in your class, I'd not be interested to know if this is true or not. I'll bet you they want to be either a fireman or a cop.
Oh,
or,
I agree. Maybe the way I said it might have come off differently. I do believe that every kid does dream. And, I think.
And every 20-year-old wants to be a rapper or a singer or a general, but.
YouTube superstar?
Yeah, big thing now. YouTubers. But, you hear that a lot.
I'd like to share this story, and I'll make it very quick.
Sure.
When I was married to my wife, my first wife, I should say, her brother would come to visit. Now, this young man was 8 years old when I met him. I said, and like all questions, you say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was probably 20s, in my mid-20s or whatever. I said, what do you want to be grow up? What do you want to do when you grow up? He said, I'm going to go to this school, and I'm going to go to VMI, and I'm going to go into the military, and I'm going to be a general, unless the FBI or the FBI or CIA. Take a guess what he's doing right now.
One of them.
He's doing one of them. And I don't keep up with him as much as I'd like, but how impressive is that?
That's impressive.
To have that thought process that early, yeah, definitely.
But, to me, I think I'm a dreamer. And like Albert Einstein, we don't know him for the thousand things he failed at. We know him for the one that he did. And and now I don't dare compare myself to anything like that. I don't even like to use myself in the same example, but I have to because I've tried it all. I mean, man, I could tell you stuff that I've tried to make money at that failed. I failed miserably.
Do you mind letting us know one of them?
Well, I used to have this little car, Volkswagen, and I always have one of the first things I told you I was going to bring you guys hats because I personalize everything. And I had this license plate. This is in the 90s where everything was tough guy this, tough guy that. And my tag said the number 2 BAD, the number 4 YA. Too bad for you. Someone once said to me, you should put a face and start some shirts with that. I poured every damn dime I have into it. It failed miserably.
Okay.
And you know why I failed miserably? Because I got to a point where where it was something that I didn't know how to do. And I hate to say it, but maybe I just gave up. And that's not really part of my personality, but it when things come to us, we seem to tend to not give up if we know what we're doing. But when we hit that rocky spot or that spot that we're not comfortable with, tech stuff is not good. I'm not good with that kind of stuff. But to finish up my dream, the number one rule is I'm a big believer in you have to dream outside the box. Dream bigger. A dream has to be bigger than you are, or it's just a thought. Think about that for a second.
That's true. That's why they call it a dream, something that's exponential in where you're at.
Has to be amazing. It has to be something that you want. It has to be something bigger and better than
yourself.
Anything that you can think of. So, I've heard some people's dreams, and they're not big dreams to me. They're not even as far as my life goes, they're not that exciting because my dream, I'll tell you my dream right now, my dream is to speak in front of a football stadium.
Right on.
Okay.
And I'm saying it on air. So what did I just do? I held myself accountable.
Yeah.
Now what happens if someone, a viewer, hears this podcast 20 years from now, I said, yeah, I thought you were going to speak in front of a stadium. Well, if someone does say that, they know me well enough now that it won't be because I didn't put every effort possible into it. But I think it's important to tell your friends your dreams. Accountability is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And scream your dreams. People don't take their dreams serious enough anymore, especially this new era that we're moving into. And which takes me to rule number two. It's because all these rules are based around dreams. They just start with dreams. Goals. Dreams without goals are just dreams. And we'll always...
They'll stay there. They'll stay in that regard.
They'll never happen.
Yeah. I read a quote actually very similar to that where it said, dreams without goals are just fantasy.
Yes, sir. I 100% agree with that. And set goals for your dreams and use your number three motivation. Motivation is my favorite one. And two and three go together, goals are motivation and discipline. You're not always going to be motivated. You're just not. So you have to use your discipline to help you get your butt off that couch and go do what you needed to do to make your dreams come true. And this is what I would say to anyone that's listening. If you got home from work and you're sitting on the couch and you say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to work on that goal or dream tomorrow. Commit to just standing up. Not to go work on your goal, but to stand up.
Just get off the couch.
Stand up, and if you don't feel it, sit back down. But if you get on your feet, that first move will increase your odds by at least 50% that you're going to go work on your goal.
I like that. I like that because at least it's minimal, right? It's minimal effort. But you're making an effort.
Yes. Yeah, it's almost like working out.
I was going to say that's like the cliche thing, but
go to the gym.
There. Yeah, just get there.
Just go to the gym and see if you don't want to work out once you get there.
I do like that, though. I do like that.
Yeah, just stand up.
Yeah, just stand up.
Just stand up instead of sitting there and scrolling through Facebook and Instagram and Netflix.
Netflix and chill. Yeah. Right. Well, you know what I'm saying, though.
It's very easy just to get.
I'll take the chill part.
It's very easy to when you, like you're saying that, you sit down and that complacent kicks in and it's like, yeah, I'm good for the day, where it could be, it's once to stand up and then it could be just as easy.
No, that's easy. I mean, that's great for me just thinking about it too. It's like, well, maybe I just stand up and come in the office and do some video editing instead of sitting on the couch.
Yeah, because all of this stuff, like it just, like everything else, right? It just takes a lot of your time, takes a lot of effort, takes, you know, it's not easy, but it's okay.
Man, I got so many goals and dreams. I got to make a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're speaking to the same crowd where we're just, you know, that's what we want to be. We have a lot of dreams. We have a lot of goals. Not enough hours in a day.
Exactly. Luckily for me, for your 7 days, I get about 10 because I don't sleep. No. And I use that time wisely.
There's a Arnold. He says sleep faster.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen that video. Yeah. I'll give you another one to watch. Denzel Washington, Fail Big.
Okay.
I feel like I've seen that one. I forgot to look, back at it.
I don't think I have seen that one.
Was he speaking at a graduation?
Yes. He must have wrote, he was speaking to them, but that was for me. He wrote that for me.
Okay. I like it.
Because that's how I live my life. I'm not afraid. And I will say this, and it's not my own, but I love it. Fear stops success more often than lack of knowledge.
Oh, definitely. I would agree with that.
And that's one thing that I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to jump. And I just recently finished a book, and I'm going to write another one. And I don't know if this will be the title of it, but it's going to be somewhere along the lines of Jumper. Just jump. Just jump. Just do it.
Yeah.
But I want to finish these rules.
Sure.
Yeah.
The fifth is, and it's new, but it pushed its way into the list, and it's consistency. If you're not consistent with your goals, your motivation, the discipline, or even the dreaming, you'll never be successful. You think about it. You guys were telling me about something you done before we started today. If you wouldn't have been consistent, you would have never finished.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
And in the last but not least is hard work. If you're not prepared to work hard at anything you do and finish what you do and give it your all, you might as well stay on that couch because it's just not going to work. You have to be all in. And I can't recall who said it, but someone said, how'd it go? I can't even remember exactly how you said it, but it was so impressive. But working hard is what successful people do.
Yeah, it's not going to just be handed to you.
No. Well, that's not, it can be handed to you, but it's not called success.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, for
you
sure. Could
be, yeah. Hard work, though, that's one of the things that, you know, it goes to there's no overnight success. There's no substitute for it.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, if you really want to be successful, hard work it's going to always boil down to hard work.
Yeah.
To me.
Cause people will think that, right. Like they'll say like, oh, Joe Rogan, right. As a podcast.
Yeah.
He blew up overnight, but really he was doing it for like 6 years where nobody even knew who he was.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, guys like that paved the way for us, you know, that we were able to blow up so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
consistency.
Yeah, because we're so consistent.
No, that's
yeah.
We just have to continue to be consistent.
Yeah. That's exactly it. So, so you mentioned you have a book. Is it published or did you just write it and you're looking to publish it?
I should receive my copy within the next couple of weeks and it'll go straight to publishing.
Now, did you self-publish or did you go through an agency?
My book is a little different. Well, the message is not different. It's my life story, and it's a lot of the things we're talking about here today. But it's called Rescue Me, which is the name of my life is revolves around Rescue Me, and it's not really a book that's for sale. It'll be on Amazon, but I want to be able to give it away to some of these young folks at addiction centers, which They all like what I have to say, so I think it would be a good thing to have. And I just recently, before we're done, I'd like to, I just wrote a quick poem, and it's a video on YouTube as well. But a lot of people in rehabilitation centers, and I've been finding more even so not, and just out and about, people are not happy with themselves. So before we're done, I would like, if you don't mind, I'd like to read a little poem that I don't have it memorized, but I wrote. It's something that you should say to yourself every day, because we all have the capability to be great. And maybe what's great to one is not great to the other. But if you're great to yourself, that's success.
So yeah, no, I agree with that. Is your book mainly all poems, or is it like long form?
It's actually no poems.
No poems. Okay.
It's no poems at all. The way that my story got into a poem was that my story started getting longer and longer.
You remember more to add in there? Yeah.
And when you're talking to a high school student or someone that's in rehab, that their minds are going in 50 million places at a time, but they want to hear what you say, but they just can't do it. Let me rephrase that. The rehabilitation people want to hear. The high school kids, I'm not so sure. But I did have probably about 150, 200 kids line up and shake my hand after the last time I spoke.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that says something.
I thought it was cool.
So how often are you speaking?
Over the last 6 months, I've been doing two, three times a week. It's strictly a hobby right now. I don't get paid for it. And that's not why I do it. I do it to give back. And one day, if the right person hears me and wants to do something with me, every dime that I make, except for travel expenses, will start a charity, so to speak. It's not really a charity. I have other thoughts on that. But it'll be all given back to things that I see where kids don't have to live like I lived.
Now, if you don't mind my asking, you mentioned earlier that your mom was into drugs, and so was your dad. Did you ever get into that or no?
Absolutely not.
What gave you the ability to steer away, right? Because like at some point, and this is the way I always think about it, is at some point, if you're sitting there and you're watching this and this is your normal life, whether you're 15 or 5 years old, like you just kind of think that this is normal, right? So what gave you that ability to like not fall into that trap? Or do you know?
I do know. I want to make sure I give the best answer I can, because I don't have the opportunity to say it all the time. If you were, I'm going to try to give an example. I'm the worst example giver that you're ever going to meet. So please bear with me. If you were kidnapped at birth and you were held in a room with a window that would maybe 12 inches by 12 inches, and you looked out that window and you knew there was a different kind of life out there, but the room was all you knew, but you still see a better life out there. I wanted that better life. And I wasn't in a room. I wasn't that confined. I had a lot of freedom at a very young age. I quit school in the ninth grade, walked 5 miles to and from work in the middle of the night. So I knew what was there. And I knew that somehow, some way, one day I was going to get it. And it wasn't even a choice for me. I knew it was going to happen, because I knew who I was, and people thought I was rich when I was 20, in my 20s. And God knows I wasn't, but it was the way I carried myself and the way that they knew that I was good with money, and they knew that I lived my life in a way that was respectful.
What was your first job?
Golden Corral restaurant.
Right on.
Okay. Now, as a like server or?
Oh, no. Wasn't that pretty?
Okay.
I was a dishwasher. And I'll let you finish your question. And
that's it.
But I want to tell you something. And it's part of my story, but it's so funny. And I tell you this not only because of the humor factor of it. I told you I walked 5 miles each way, sometimes 12:30 at night. But before, when we'd all get off at that night, and I worked with a lot of young adults, late teens, and I'm not sure why I wouldn't ask for a ride home, but there was an area over toward the corner of the building that I would stand in, and there was a shadow where they could see me, so they wouldn't see me start my walk home. So I was over there one night, and everyone dispersed like they always did, and I said to myself, I can't do this. I can't walk home tonight. And I knew there was some old junk cars back there behind the restaurant. So I said, I'm going to sleep in one of them cars tonight. Now I'm 14. I'm going to sleep in one of them cars tonight. So I went back there and got in and forced myself to sleep. About an hour after I was in there, the car door opened. And it was a homeless man. He said, this is my car.
And ow.
I didn't okay. I said, and I didn't know what else to say. I just said,
we're roommates.
Not tonight, get in the back.
Not tonight, get in the back.
And he did, and he didn't kill me.
There okay. you go.
But we spent many nights.
That's
in that
a
car
win, right? Yeah. Now, did you get to know that guy?
Actually, I did.
Did you guys become friends?
I wouldn't say friends, but we met there each for quite a few nights.
So to me, like, that's that power conversation, right? You were discussing that earlier of power conversation, going in and talking to all those folks at the bank, and then finally you got your big break, right? You get to know somebody who has the capital to give you money. So to me, like, whether it's a homeless guy or a guy at the mortgage, like, there's a lot of power to that.
Absolutely.
So did you learn anything from that gentleman?
I've never been asked that question. And that's a great question. And the only thing that I could think of that we talked about, he constantly asked me, what are you doing out here at your age? And I don't recall what I said to him, but I know what I learned. I learned that I didn't want to do this forever, and I didn't want to live like him. And I mean, while I felt bad for him, but he didn't feel bad for himself. He, you know what? Who knows? Maybe he thought he was successful on some level.
That's a good way to put it. He didn't feel bad for himself, right? So that
success has meant there's so many different levels, countless ways, levels of success. My son, I was with someone the other day. We seen a guy on the side of the street, and he said, he was making fun of the guy. I said, don't make fun of him. I said, maybe he's just at a different level of success than we are.
Well, I mean, we talk about this, I think, in our first episode or second episode when it was just us. You know, success is defined by the individual. It's not even, you know, I don't feel like it's a level. And if you're using money to define success, like, it is. Yeah, to me, that is one way of defining success. Maybe if it works for you, like you said, you chased money for a long time. And I think, you know, we have in this room a little bit too. We've chased money. But if there's one thing that I've found through my years, I certainly wouldn't measure success with money.
Absolutely not.
You know, I need to be happy on a daily basis. I need to, you know, I need to smile on a daily basis. To me, that's a success. So it doesn't take a lot to be happy and, you know, smile on a daily basis.
Well,
if you got the things in your life that are important to you, then you should be able to, you know, smile and be happy at some point during the day.
I have a toast to success, and you could have just given that toast, but what you just said.
Yeah.
It everything you said is in my toast.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So how often do you toast it?
Every time I speak.
Larry's okay. Got one toast too, but
it's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate
for this audience.
I'd still like
and it's
hear
his
it.
Go-to.
Well,
it's his go-to.
I'll announce it after.
Facebook, awesome. Instagram, if you want to know awesome. It, he'll DM it to you.
I'll DM it to you.
Okay.
Hit us up, though. Yeah, you got to hit us up.
Okay.
I'll DM it to you, but yeah. Just understand.
Yeah, okay. Understand. Not appropriate for everybody.
Not at all. So you mentioned that you like to help people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
What is something that somebody can do to actually help, right, on a daily basis? Like, what is an example?
I'll tell you what I do. No one will ever come up behind me and I will always hold the door for a gentleman or a lady. And if once in a while, you know, if it feels appropriate, I'll tell a lady, ma'am, you look nice today. Usually an older lady. I mean, that does making someone smile goes a long way. And however you want to do it is up to you, but a smile goes a long way.
We've talked about that. Like when you pass people, it's kind of what we've said. You don't really know where they're at, what they're up, like where they're at in that moment and how they're feeling. So like, that's a great way to just, they could be in a really bad place, but they just got a hello and a, hey, you look really nice. And it kind of can just totally flip from a complete stranger. They can flip their mindset.
Yeah. Or even one thing that I always find weird, or people find me weird for doing this, but whenever I call somebody like a business, they always say, hi. And then that's it. And I always say, hi, how are you doing today? And it's like silence for like five seconds.
Oh, like, yeah, I've done that. Like when you, like AT&T, you're talking about you're calling your phone company. I'll be like, right. Like, hello, like, hey, how's it going? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
It does throw them for a loop.
It throws them for a loop because they're just used to getting hammered by people. At least that's, and I used to work in that industry, so I know that you do get hammered. But yeah, it's just the little things, right, in life.
It is. And there's some, you know, the little things add up to big things. And you never know how you change someone's day by doing some of those things. Some of the stuff I've done is I changed a state trooper's tire because he couldn't get it out of the trunk in the pouring rain. My son was on a basketball camp over in Orlando. We were going back to where we were staying. And my son said, why are you doing that? I said, because it was the right thing to do. And I'll never forget it. My son and his buddy were up in the back window. Just like you could probably picture. So, and then when I got back in the car, that's when he said, so why'd you do that? And the police officer said, why are you doing this? He said, I got a tow truck coming. I said, man, we got this. So I jerked it out and we changed it. And I said, for one, we're brothers, you know, in a sense with public safety. But I would have done it for anyone. I've changed many tires. I was driving through Vero a while, it's been years ago now, and there was these two ladies standing beside the road by their car with this big, it looked like something they had just bought, like a chest or something. So I'd seen them from a distance. Yeah, it was a little bit of a gamble, but it's just who I am. And I pulled over. I said, you ladies need some help? They said, they were standoffish. Do you work here? I said, no, I was driving by. I said, it looks like you might be able to use a hand. Or, well, we're trying to get this in our car. So I picked it up, put it in our car, said, have a nice day, and walked away. So these are the things I do. But the one thing that I really want to tell, and I hope she doesn't mind because I know she's going to listen to this because she's a big fan and a big supporter. But there's a young lady in my life now. She works for me. And I reluctantly hired her. She's a friend's wife's sister. And I pray that she's okay with this because I wouldn't want to do anything to disrespect her. But she says, I hired her. She had no skills. Turns out she's the hardest working woman on this damn planet. And she come to me, and she heard over conversations because every morning we have conversations at my shop, and my guys, they seem to get a lot out of it. And she came to me one day and she said, "Corey, I want to thank you." After about 2 weeks of being employed by me, and she said, "I want to thank you." And I said, "You're welcome." And I'm thinking to myself, "For what?" And she said, "No, you don't understand. You saved my life." And that's kind of a broad statement if you think about it. You saved my life. Hey, maybe there's no telling what I might have said.
Right.
But she said, "No, I was going to kill myself before I met you. And when you talk, you give me hope." And it couldn't have happened at a better time, because I'm not ashamed to say it, but I was considering stopping this because, you know, I got a lot going on. I mean, I got several companies and just a full plate on my hands at all times. But there's just no way that I can stop now, because if you can make a difference like that by something you may say or do, mm-hmm. I mean, it just don't get any better than that. But it was a lot for me to, I wasn't expecting it, and it was a lot to take, but.
Yeah, that's heavy.
That's big.
That's heavy, yeah.
And that girl now is, I think she's still working right now.
Jeez, okay.
I'm not kidding. I think she's still at work right now. She's
still at work.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned you personalize everything. What is that you have on your hat?
CM Corey Martin.
Okay. So you put your initials on everything?
Not my initials. It's been Rescue Me most of my, since 2006. But when I started the branding for my speaking, I thought it'd be more appropriate to, I needed a card. So I have the CM on a card, and it's just something that I do. It's just fun for me.
You said you wanted to share a poem before.
Oh, let me see if I can find it. I wrote this poem in about 4 minutes, so bear with me.
Okay, no problem.
But it's cool. I think if you're not believing in yourself, this is a good thing to read. Maybe write it on your mirror or something. So for anyone that might not be feeling good about theirself or down in the dumps, we all get that way once in a while. So this is how the poem goes. It says, "Today I know I'm amazing because I know who I am and what I'm about. I'll go through my day and remember this, and I won't have any doubts. Every time I look in the mirror, to be honest, I really like who I see. I don't see young or old or anything negative. I just see the best person that I can be. For me, there will be no insecurities today, because quite frankly, there's no need. Because I know I'm awesome inside and out, and I have every reason to succeed. I know that I'm a good person, and that's one reason that I'm not insecure. But the other reason is that I know that I'm super positive and motivated, and my heart is very pure. I know that I have greatness in me, so I'll never doubt myself. Today I'm going to have a great day and leave the insecurities on the shelf."
It's good.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah. That's a great really mantra good. To start
yeah.
your day.
Yeah.
Like you're
yeah.
saying.
Just I have no reason to ever read that again for myself. Because my day starts, I'm just a little different like that. But I don't seem to get down much. I'm seriously motivated. I want to help as many people as I can, and my day normally can't get started soon enough. And I should tell you, and I'd like to tell anyone listening, and this is something to think about. I know it's a little bit off color from what we talked about it earlier, work and jobs and stuff. I've never had a job that I didn't want to go to. I've literally missed three days of work in my entire life. So how do you take a job that you don't want, that you don't mind going to, or you like going to? Make your job challenging. Do the best you can do. Because if you're doing the best job you can do for a job that you have working for someone else, and not look at, I know a lot of people look at jobs like, why should I do this for him? Well, you're doing the right thing because you're doing the best you can do. I've dug ditches before, but I'm going to tell you what, there's no better ditch digger on the planet than me. I can dig you a ditch that's straight, deep, or long, or whatever you want, but it's going to be a nice ditch. Call me silly, but, and then on the same hand, I have a rental property right now that it does not warrant the kitchen that I'm putting in it, but I am, because I want it to be the best. I want to make it interesting. I want to make it economical. So it's just important, I think, to do the best that we can do at whatever we're doing. Relationship, do the best you can at your relationship. If you want to have a podcast, strive to have the best podcast on the planet. And for whatever it is your dreams are.
Yeah. And with that, Corey, we really appreciate you coming on. I got one more final question for you, though.
Sure.
Before we wrap it up. And I think I already know what it's going to be. But based on your life experiences, what is some wisdom that you can impart on our listeners?
Don't let any situation or person determine who you're going to be. Only one person gets to choose that. And the sooner you figure it out, the sooner you'll reap your success. And whatever your definition of success is.
Absolutely. And yeah. I love it.
That is awesome.
Before we do, though, is there any place where folks can find you?
Yes. I have a Facebook page. Corey Martin is my personal page. CM Motivational Speaker is my professional page. I have a YouTube page, Corey Martin's 5 Rules to Success on YouTube. I'm all over the place.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. We appreciate you coming on.
Make sure you guys check it out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Guys, as always, if you've got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
If you want to see what's going on with us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Full Gorilla Life, and on Twitter at Gorilla Full.
And last but not least, please feel free to visit our website, fullgorilla.life, and please hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice. Thanks.
Later.
Take care.